What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
So what was on the menu? Seven steaks? Two whole chickens?
I went and got a giant Wagyu steak for him.
So I'm ecstatic about that.
On 95.7 The Game.
Well, if you're just joining us on a Friday, yay.
It's about time you got here.
Uh-huh. And also, George Kittle's doubtful. Debo Samuel's out. Christian McCaffrey, you all know, is out. Charvarius Ward, questionable. Nick Bosa, questionable. No one's going to feel sorry for the 49ers. The Rams are all banged up, too. And so, what's this one going to look like? And, you know, what we're kind of getting at, what I'm getting at least, I won't put words in your mouth, everybody's entitled to their perspective, their opinion. It's what makes sports fun. What gets me is I start to hear stuff that is provably false. And it's odd to me as we go from Brock having played 10 games to 20 games to 30 games. And Brock is only one example. I was just reading, Matt Barrows just lit somebody up on Twitter because he texted Matt or tweeted him and said, it's time for the 49ers to move on from George Kittle. He is made of glass. And for a tough guy position, he misses a bleep load of games.
Yeah. Speak on it.
And then Matt,
speak on it, fans.
Matt Barrows responded and said, George Kittle has missed six of 62 starts, and one of them was on purpose.
Right.
Last year against the Rams.
Yep. 16 games last year, 15 the year before, 14 the year before that. And then 2020, he played eight games. So... yeah, you're going back pretty far, and before that, he played 14, 16, right. And 15. So
Barrows said to him, I just question your definition, your use of the word bleep load.
Of course.
So I don't. That's what I don't get. I understand the emotion of the sport. I don't get when we're able to look at stuff and then ideas that are provably false sustain. That's what I don't understand.
Well, you can look at anything from your own perspective, and if you are a George Kittle fantasy football owner and you're going into week three and maybe you're 0-2 and you look at George Kittle as doubtful, maybe you're mad and you want to talk about him missing a bleep load of games because now you're stuck with your backup tight end and maybe you don't have a backup tight end and now you're going to lose your fantasy game and now I'm mad, so I'm going to come at George Kittle for missing a, quote, bleep load of games.
Yeah, but half the league is hurt. Justin Herbert's got a high ankle sprain. Evan Engram is doubtful. Puka, Cooper, Tua. Like, I mean, it's all over the place. Isaiah Pacheco. Jim and Woodacre on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Jim. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. You know, I have the perfect rebuttal to the Purdy haters that don't want to see reality. Because it sees his accuracy. It doesn't matter if it's Juwan... I forgot his last name.
You know, Jennings.
The point
Jennings,
is whoever he's throwing to, he puts it right in the right place. So Debo's out to Sunday, whoever he's throwing to in Debo's place, he's probably going to put it right in the right spot, and that's why he's so valuable. Is that he holds, and there's also what I heard that NFL players are, there's an NFL attitude that he is like the calmest in the pocket than anybody else. And I can't verify where I heard that. But he's just the real deal. And you just, time will tell, as they say.
Yep.
And one final thing. People wonder about injuries. So you got to, your car runs well until it doesn't. And what's the story? Parts break. And it's same with our bodies. And you don't have to be doing anything violent or really hard to all of a sudden break a part says, oops, I'm sorry, I'm out of commission.
Jim, thank you. Jim, thank you very much. Appreciate the phone call. I think he has a point, which is that, and this is part of the romanticism of it, which is that we want individuals to do X, Y, or Z. This is what you and I sort of, you know, debated yesterday with the idea of Brandon Ayuk, and you want him to statistically pop.
Better now.
Well, I just think the offense better go. Now, those things could be hand in hand.
They should be.
Right? They should be. They could be. They might be, but they might not be. And so are your receivers lesser, I guess, to a degree, but they're still allowed to get open, and Kyle Shanahan is still running a scheme that is supposed to make that work and has worked with that in the past. And Brock, with what he does well, like, I don't really understand the reasoning behind the idea to think that he's now not going to do well. He will still process information. He will still buy time. He will still make good decisions and deliver an accurate ball. That works in the NFL, no matter who your receivers are.
Well, and that's where I would pause it, because it's not no matter who your receivers are. It's you're lesser than if you don't have the same receivers that you normally do. But everything else you said is something that he should be able to do. Kyle Shanahan can still call a good play. They can still execute a good play. And he can still read it and make a throw. But the throw that he's going to make to whomever he's going to make it to, not George, not Debo, and not Christian, well, there is where it becomes a little bit of a lesser proposition, because you're not throwing it to an all-pro, George Kittle, and you're not throwing it to a possible Hall of Famer, CMC. And George Kittle is on his own Hall of Fame track, so all three of those guys are out. So, yeah, everything else Brock Purdy should be able to do. He should be able to call a play and decipher a play and run a play, but when you go to execute it, the execution's probably not going to be as good, because you don't have the same people on the back end of
that
it.
That may be, but again, like here's what's better news, and I know this might sound weird. This is way better than the guys getting hurt in the game. Like, Kyle has got all week to now game plan for not having these guys out there. And so that's his job.
Yep.
Your job is to go scheme this thing now for Brandon Ayuk, Juwan Jennings, and Chris Conley, and Jacob Cowing, and Eric Saubert, and Jordan Mason. Go do your thing. That's not nothing. You're right. It's nowhere near as dynamic. I get that.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's, like, unreasonable. It's not an unreasonable group of people to go win a football game with.
Well, it shouldn't be. And if your quarterback is really everything that we think that he is, if he's a top five MVP candidate, and if he is a guy who's going to make $60 million, then it shouldn't be a big deal to throw to Saubert and Mason and Jennings and whoever else you're going to actually go to. Tonjes, if Tonjes gets the start as your other tight end. If Brock Purdy is really this good, then it shouldn't be that big of a deal.
Miguel and Modesto next up here, Willard and Dibs. Hi, Miguel. Thank you for calling.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So I wanted to call about Purdy, but on a quick front about the injuries. I don't know about you guys, but I'd rather have my injuries early in the season opposed to late in the season when this team is trying to make a playoff push. So I'd say we kind of cool it down on that front, because these guys are only out for a couple weeks, not the entire season thus far. As for Purdy, it's very unfair what's going on. No surprise there. The Collins, the Nick Wrights of this world, they give that man a very small rope. If you put Patrick Mahomes without Kelsey, CJ without Diggs, Lamar without Flowers, you name it, we're not having these kinds of conversations about them, because they think those guys are on a whole nother dimension. So I think it's very unfair what they're doing to Purdy. I think even though if Purdy goes out there and beats the Rams and the Patriots, they're going to continue to move the goalpost on the guy. They're just going to come out and say, well, the Rams are depleted. Well, the Patriots, we weren't expecting much out of them. So I think it's unfair Purdy can't control who's in front of him. All he can do is play who's in front of him. So I think it's unfair what's going on with him. Thank you for taking my call, guys.
Miguel, thanks. I don't know. Like, you're using the word unfair. I wouldn't use that word. I get, you know, it bothers me too, but I don't think it's unfair. I look at this game as an opportunity. This is now wonderful.
Yeah.
This is great.
Like, well, maybe.
I'm not, like, rooting for injuries.
Sure.
But we're here, and how do you want to look at it? Do you want to make lemonade out of your lemons? This is an opportunity for Brock Purdy that in a contract year, or at least leading into an extension conversation, and a bevy of people around the world still, after multiple playoff runs, now leading the NFL in passing. Sure, you lost a football game last week. Oh, dear, what to do? After all that, you still all got these people going, yeah, I'd like to see the Niners win and Brock actually contribute. I mean, for stuff like that to still be coming out of people's mouths, this is exactly what you need.
And it will forever. And you talked about it before, and I disagreed with you. If they win the Super Bowl, I do think that those narratives die. But right now, at 1-1 and these guys not playing this Sunday, the narrative lives.
I am so excited also for what we've got coming your way this weekend with the Niners and Rams, okay? All weekend long, we got you covered. Lo Neal and Evan Giddings, the kickoff show, 11 a.m. Sunday. Grandy, Sterling Bennett, Kyle Madsen, for overtime the second the game ends. The quickest way for you to talk about the game is be right here on 95.7 The Game. You're home for the best pre- and post-game coverage in the Bay. We continue with your phone calls. We promised you that Jay Gruden comment on George Kittle. We'll bring that to you immediately coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
To
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
888-957-9570. It's not just what you think Brock is going to look like. A few other things. I wanted to throw this at you.
Do it. You won't.
Not going to name names. No, I will. I'm about to. Warm it up.
Thank you.
Everybody's really hesitant to use this phrase, but I can hear a bunch of people who want to.
Must win?
Uh-huh.
Get out of here.
Talk to me.
Seriously, if you're using the phrase must win, then, and I don't want to say this to anybody individually because you're all out there and you're listeners and I love each and every one of you, you're an idiot.
Well, look.
It's not a must win because if they lose and you go to 1-2, and let's just say that Seattle also loses.
Okay.
And Arizona loses and the Rams... Well, they wouldn't lose because they would beat you.
What if they don't, though? What if they win? What if Seattle wins? What if Arizona wins?
Okay, then you're two games back with 14 to play. Right. It's not a must win.
What if I asked you this? What is it then? And I don't mean like let's label the win. Like here's how I'd answer it. You're right. It's not a must win. But here's what it is. If they lose, it's a problem. It's a problem.
It's a small problem if they lose.
You've got New England up next. A medium problem, which I know after last night, now we've decided that's going to be an easy game. But things...
It's not an easy game, but just a quick aside, sure. 10 seconds, and we'll fade the dibbers later. And I'll tell you this.
Nice pick last night.
Bad pick. And I said this on the thread. And from the moment I made the pick, and well, and actually, I got a text from my good friend Baltimore Joe.
Okay.
And as I was making the pick, he said, "Don't take the Patriots.
Don't take the Patriots." It's
and
a
so
bad
after
pick.
I made the pick, and you guys all laughed at me, and I looked at my phone, and I was like, "You know what? That's probably a bad pick." And I'm driving home, and Greg the Leg missed a field goal, and it's 14-3, and I'm thinking, you know what? It's not a good pick. But I might actually find my way into... No.
Dude.
And then Aaron comes out and 21-3. And I thought, you know what? It's a bad pick. And then I thought about it yesterday and whatever. I had other action that actually paid off in fantasy football. I liked what happened and all the rest of it. And I woke up this morning and I thought, you know what? I need to look at my process. Because I don't always have to pick a side. I can pick a total. I can, you know, whatever. It's fade the dibber.
Well, that's kind of the way we've set it up. You do it for a primetime game, you pick the game.
I could pick an over-under, though, in the game. I'm not going to pick a prop.
Is that true, Grandy? I don't know. Look at the rule book. What did we say on fade the dibbers for primetime games?
I think he could make any bet.
Okay.
I thought that it was spread or total. I'm not going to pick, like, for example, one bet that I do.
Under Ramondre Stevenson yards.
I love it.
We're not going to let you pick a prop that's like minus 400 to
right,
hit.
Right, Somewhere around even. Somewhere around even.
And I love that. And I will say this. I was on the Ramondre Stevenson. I say it wrong every time. I was on his under yards on Prize Picks. Thank you, Guru, for the promo code, Guru957. But I thought that I could pick... Either the side or the total.
You can do whatever you want.
Well, I'll say this.
We're fun people around here.
My pick in the Niner game has changed.
Oh.
That's all I'm going to say.
Well, that's a nice tease.
Based on today's news and my process, the pick done changed. But anyway, that was too many sides to what we were talking about.
No, that's fine. And again, for those of you who want to hear that, we'll do that a little bit closer to 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
But it's a problem. It's a problem if the 49ers lose this game.
Agreed.
No, it doesn't mean the season is over. They don't have to win. And I would want to know more about how they... That's not how we always do it, right? It's like, well, wait a minute. How'd they lose? Did they lose 31-30? Or did they lose 6-4? Like, what...
If they lose 34-3.
Probably not, but...
No, yeah. But if you want to talk about, like...
Yeah.
That, I think, is a bigger thing. And I also want to lean on what happened a couple years ago when they started the year 3-5.
Yep.
And then they still went to the NFC Championship game. So if you go to 1-2... This is not a must-win, and if you think it's a must-win, that's a you problem.
That year, though, I know we love to reference it, but that's not the way. Like, don't do it that way.
That's not the blueprint, of course.
That season had at least 3 or 4 moments where you're like, if this doesn't go their way, it's cooked, including the final drive in L.A. in the regular season.
Yep.
Where Jimmy Garoppolo, legend has it, actually threw the ball downfield, and it was caught by people on his team, and they went on a game-winning drive, and they won.
In overtime.
Yes, they won the thing. So, but you don't want to do it that way. Not this team.
You'd rather not.
You know what I mean? But I get it. They're less dynamic right now, but the bottom line for me on this one is that you're very likely, if the Niners lose Sunday, you're very likely to come out with significant concerns about at least one portion of the field. That's the way I'll say it. Because if the offense can't function, then I'm wrong. And all of these things are now, all of the things people have said are going to be true. Because the Rams don't have a great defense. And this is the Niners' south. This is their house. So... what's the reasoning for going down there and you can't move the ball? Like, what? And if the Rams, with no offensive line and no receivers, if they move the ball up and down the field on you, well, what the hell is this defense? What are we doing? So I got to see how it looks, but that'd be my guess. Niners lose this game. You're going to show up on Monday with significant concerns about one side of the ball, if not both.
Fair, but still, you look at it, and if you have any rationale, or if you're at all a reasonable human being, you could look at it and say, all right, you still have 14 more of these. And I'm thinking about the year that I referenced where they went 3-5. And I just pulled up the box score for my own mental reference. They lost Arizona to fall to 3-5. And that game was at Levi Stadium.
And it was embarrassing.
Arizona 31. San Francisco, 17.
Colt McCoy. Yeah.
22 of 26.
And who's my man that got trucked at the goal line? He was on the Niners for like just that year. He's a corner and got absolutely obliterated like pancakes.
Was it Josh Norman?
No, it wasn't Josh Norman. Darn it. I'll look it up. Anyway.
I'm just looking at the
box score. I'll look at the box score. I'm looking at the box score
right here, and it was James Conner, I'm looking for James Conner, who had three touchdowns, two on the ground, one via the air, and Jimmy Garoppolo threw for 326. He got sacked five times, and you lose to Arizona to fall to 3-5.
What year was this, 21?
2021.
Okay.
Was it Dre Kirkpatrick?
Thank you, Dre Kirkpatrick. And who was the nice running back on the Cardinals?
Eno Benjamin. Yeah, that great Eno Benjamin.
Absolutely trucked him. The Niners were embarrassed in that game. They were awful in that game.
At that point, at 3-5, we all were outraged at the state of the team and this and that. And then they would go on to win seven of their last nine in the regular year.
You remember the next Monday night, and Kyle has admitted this, the following Monday night, if the Niners lose and Garoppolo did not perform well, that was a wrap.
Yep.
Trey Lance gets the gig. They were 3-6. You remember who they were playing?
The Rams.
The Los Angeles Rams. Yep. Jimmy only threw for 182 yards.
Balled out.
But the Niners won by 21.
Quarterback rating of 141.7.
That's good.
That's very good.
That's very, very good. Yeah.
No answer for Elijah Mitchell.
Jimmy Garoppolo, 15-19, 182, two tuds, no picks.
That's my point, is not to, praise Jimmy Garoppolo for a 15 of 19 performance, but to just remind everyone that this is week three, so it's not a must win. Yes, you should beat the Rams, and you should have beaten Arizona that year where you fell to 3-5, and I'm just checking the notes. You were favored by 3.5. Arizona was actually pretty good that year, but you should have won that game. You should win this game, but if you don't, it's not time to panic.
I don't know that yet.
I'm just a little bit more mature and wise than the majority of you.
No, because you don't know what it looks like. Like, what's the definition of panic? I didn't say it's time to panic about the standings, but I can panic about the way. Like, if the defense gets shredded by this offense, I can panic. Yes, I can.
You're allowed to.
Yes.
But I wouldn't. I mean,
why not?
Because there are adjustments that can be made with 14 games left to go.
I mean, that's always
true. And when you get seven teams that make the playoffs at 1-2, you're still very much in the picture.
Yeah,
I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
I can honestly say that the 49ers are not built for what you're talking about. Like, this is not, my expectations are not going to change that fast to the point where I can just wrap my head around, well, let's see if we could sneak in. I thought this was Super Bowl or bust, for goodness sakes.
Well, it is.
And I understand that they got a lot of injuries, but I'm not adjusting my expectations three games into the season to be like, yeah, it's fine. They're 1-2. Let's see if they can, scratch out nine or 10 wins in a wild card. No, this team's way too good for that.
But if you scratch out 9 or 10 wins in a wild card, and McCaffrey's healthy, and Debo's healthy, and Kittle's healthy, and all three of those guys are going to be healthy at the end of a, let's say they go 8-8-1, and that's good enough. And I love the tie.
You want that 8-8 tie so
8-8-1, and that's good enough to get you a wild card somehow, but all those guys are healthy, then they're going to be a tough out.
Yeah, I don't want them to be a tough out. Like,
it's Super Bowl or bust no matter what.
If that's what you get, that's what you get, and that's what you root for. But it's way too early for me to start thinking about that being okay. Like, my gosh, look at this roster. I understand that there are some injuries, but look at the other roster. This is a dreadful football team they're playing. Dreadful.
That's a little strong.
It's not.
I think it's a little strong.
The Arizona Cardinals flicked this team off the field in 5 minutes, the game was over.
Well, Arizona's over. Better than you thought.
Arizona.
You can give Arizona their flowers through two games because they're better than you thought.
A kid in his second NFL game ran the Rams off the field in 5 minutes last week. Five.
He's a first-round pick.
I understand that. he had...
Some think that he's going to be the next great wide receiver.
And some
and he's on the Hall of Fame track.
And some know that, no, he's not. He has five career catches in the league. His first game was one catch for 4 yards, and he was one of the lowest separators in the entire league. So
if you project out his 2 weeks stats with touchdowns, he's on pace for 385 touchdowns for his career.
How about catches? Catches. He's got 5 in 2 games. He's on pace for about 38 catches this year.
All he does is score touchdowns. So when you're that good, you don't need catches. Okay. You just score touchdowns.
All right. Let's go to Fred in Richmond. Hi, Fred. What's cooking in your world?
Oh, man. Just got off work, man. Listening to the show. And a huge fan. I just think as a Niners fan, I'm not panicking. I'm not worried. I mean, the Rams are depleted right now. I would have a little panic just because of it's being a divisional game. If the Niners was to lose, I just can't see that. Like, I understand any given Sunday, but I just can't see that. I believe that Brock Purdy is just going to keep flicking that ball, get it to Brandon Ayuk. Mason continues to stay on his high journey. And the Niners come out with a 31-10 victory. The defense should really annihilate the Rams. Like I said, again, it's a divisional game. Leonard Floyd should probably just be all over Matthew Stafford due to the fact they were teammates not too long ago. But I'm not panicking. The Niners still a Super Bowl or bust in my eyeballs because it's only week 3. And, I mean, nobody played in the preseason. So this is the new NBA parody. You know how it is in the NBA, load management. Kittle, if it was a playoff game, Kittle might play. I'm pretty sure he would play.
Oh.
So, I mean, fall back. Nick Wright he need clickbait. That dude knows nothing. I mean, I never heard him say nothing about Kansas City before Patrick Mahomes. He wasn't screaming Alex Smith, but, you know, that's for another show. Thanks for having me on, y'all.
Thanks, Fred.
Right,
appreciate
on, Fred.
It. Yeah, like, I mean, look, I want to make sure this is very clear. I really, really, I'm excited for Brock Purdy's opportunity. I expect him to still play very well. I don't need it to be sparkly. I don't need it to be statistically driven. I need him to play well. Like, don't turn the ball over and move the ball. Doesn't need to be 30 points. I have no rules here. Just play well and take that opportunity. At the same time, and I'll be here Monday to take my L if I'm wrong. There are no excuses. Like, that's what I won't do. That would be totally disingenuous for me to say I expect him to play well and then show up Monday and be like, well, he didn't have half of his players. No. No. If I'm going to sit here and say this guy's a good quarterback, he's got to be a good quarterback.
Exactly.
And if I'm going to say this guy's a great play caller, then he needs to be a great play caller. And yes, you can do that with Chris Conley. Yes, you can. He's been in the NFL for a long time. And by the way, he's not even option 1 or 2, you know? Just got asked by one of our really, really good listeners on YouTube, Chicago Jason, about Brock being with receivers that he doesn't have a lot of rapport with because Brandon's not really, he's like up to speed, and then the rest of the guys are new. I'm like, I don't feel like that's what's happening here. First of all, it's time for Brandon to be up to speed. It's week 3, and you showed up for the final week of camp. So that means you have been running around playing football now for a month almost. Like, time to be up to speed, number one. Number two, Juwan Jennings, not new. Number three, Chris Conley, not terribly new.
Not new at all.
And even if you want to move down to the rookie, who is a rookie, but you've been playing with him for all camp, in Jacob Cowing, Saubert, like, sure, it's not going to look the same, but I don't want to bake in any excuses to this. It's still a group, to me, that Brock and the 49ers as a group should be able to use to move the ball.
There are no excuses.
None.
In the NFL, ever. And, you know, you go out there and you line up and you're going to have 11 guys on your offense. I'm pretty sure that they're still going to have 11 guys out there. And you go out there and you play. This is different than an NBA game where you have Steph and Clay and Draymond all out for load management and whatnot. And you're playing the third game in 4 nights on the road. Okay, you might lose to Orlando or New Orleans or whatever team that you're going to play against. Who cares? There's 82 of them. It doesn't really matter. matter. In football, you got 17 of them. There are no excuses. You've got a quarterback who was top five in the MVP voting last year, and he is healthy. And you've got an offensive coordinator and a head coach that I'm being told is one of two coaches that everyone would want in the NFL, and he's not hurt, I don't believe. So you have a top five MVP candidate quarterback. You've got one of the best coaches outside of Andy Reid in football. You've got an all-pro in Brandon Ayuk. You've got a Hall of Fame left tackle. There are no excuses.
Well, you're
going up against a team that has as many, if not more, injuries than you do.
There's the point. Here's the way I look at it. If we stop thinking about who's not going to be there, let's just think about who is. Who's got the better football team on Sunday? It's not even close. It's not even close.
Well, even if it was close, you've got a quarterback who everybody's telling me is $60 million a year, and you've got a head coach who everyone's telling me is the best thing this side of Andy Reid.
Both teams have good coaches, and both teams have good quarterbacks.
Sure.
So, and I actually would argue that both teams have a very like workable young running back. Both teams. But let's leave there. Now where do we go? You know, who's got the better receivers? Clearly the 49ers have more accomplished receivers with no Puka and no Cooper. Just the fact that Brandon Ayuk is there means the Niners get the edge in receivers. Who's got the better offensive line? Not even close. Who's got the better defense? Shouldn't even be close.
Yeah.
That's what I like. If you really want to get nerdy with me, that's where my mind goes in this game. The defense should be amazing. We got a new staff, and we're feeling a little some type of way about it after some of the stuff that we watched last week. We've already got a very public set of criticisms to go toward Nick Sorensen because of the way he set up the defense on the Justin Jefferson 97-yard touchdown. Now, that's one play. Not going to make a decision on a D coordinator based on that. But you've got new personnel. You've got a new staff. And this is the type of game that you should look great in. And you've done it to this team many, many times in the past. The Niners largely have had Matt Stafford's number when they play the Los Angeles Rams. So that's my deal. The Rams should not get to 16 or 17 points. They should not.
Agreed. And if you look at pressure rate in the NFL, Brock Purdy's been pressured on 29% of dropbacks, which is fifth most in the NFL. Stafford is at 31%, which is fourth most in the NFL. He's missing three offensive linemen. The Niners aren't missing any offensive linemen. And the Niners have this defense that we all want to talk about. Nick Bosa, and he had a good game, I think, against Minnesota with two sacks. And Leonard Floyd, we're still waiting for him to really wreck a game. And Javon Hargrave in the middle of the defensive line, we're looking for him to wreck a game. This is one, and I agree with you, where the D-line in particular should be able to feast against an offensive line that's missing three starters and an offensive package that doesn't have the two top wideouts on their team and two of the top, I'd say, 20 receivers in football, maybe even two of the top 15.
Yeah.
And they're both going to be out. So go ahead and key up on the run. Make sure that Kyren Williams doesn't beat you on the ground and go ahead and feast on Matthew Stafford at 36 years of age in a game that won't be a hostile environment.
If you're just joining us, go ahead and add George Kittle to the list. So there's no Debo, there's no Christian, and now there is no George Kittle. He's been listed as doubtful. That means he's almost assuredly not to play, and it's interesting to get that news the day after you and I spoke to Jay Gruden, who said this.
I'd be more concerned about George Kittle than anybody. I think George Kittle makes that offense what it is. He is the best blocking tight end and receiving tight end combination there is. And if you look around the league, not many teams have a blocking tight end like George Kittle that can go out and run pass routes and break tackles like he does. They're almost non-existent right now. I think he's the most valuable player on the team. Personally, I love Trent. I love Brock. I love Debo. But George Kittle is a monster. If he's not in there, I don't know what they're going to do. So you got to figure out ways to get another tight end in there and continue to hit people with Mason in the running game so your play actions are there on first and second down. And on third down, do the best you can and protect the quarterback and try to get through this game and try to win it probably by a field goal or whatever.
Quote, if he's not there, I don't know what they're going to do. And I haven't heard many people talk about this. We hear George Kittle go out and our mind immediately goes to, oh, Purdy lost another weapon. You know who this is the worst news for? Is J.P. Mason. That's who this is the worst news for. Because that's who the 49ers could you would think, lean on in a game like this. That game that you brought up, that when the Niners beat the Rams on Monday night in 2021,
yep.
Go look at the splits in terms of pass attempts versus rushes. 19 times they threw the ball. 44 they ran the ball. Now, that was Jimmy's Niners. This is Brock's, and it's different. But if Mason is running downhill the way he has in the first two games, of course you would lean on that more. But there's no George Kittle, and I do really wonder what it's going to look like. I know it's not a hostile environment, but it is the road, and it will be loud. And some of the young guys on the line, Dominic Pooney, they struggled with that last week. Jake Brendel has not had a very good start to the year. Trent is there. That's great. But that's the other thing that I want to look at. You know what I mean? And Brock's life will be made easier, by the way, if the defense plays the way we think it can and if Mason is running the ball the way he has.
Yeah, go ahead and win the time of possession, which we've talked about over the last 2 years. When they win the TOP battle, they're 20-4. So that is, for me, the ultimate formula. Like you said, in the other game we referenced, 2021 against the Rams, you didn't throw it a lot. You ran it, and I think you said 40 times. Yeah, 44 times. 44 times on the ground, and I'm looking at it. Jeff Wilson, Debo got 5, Elijah 27 for 91,
yep.
Which is not what you would call a completely dominant game, but he did enough to keep the ball in the hands of the quarterback, and so that for me becomes the formula yet again, but it is made harder by the fact that you don't have George Kittle in that run blocking, and so Eric Saubert's going to have to play more than he's played so far in his young Niner career, and Jake Tongis, if he gets the call at the other tight end, and you know the other real X factor, I think, in this game is Kyle Juszczyk, and Juszczyk's been used a lot this year in a second tight end role where it's classically 21 personnel, 2 running backs. But with Jordan Mason, they don't run a lot of I formation with Juszczyk in front of Mason. So I would imagine that Juszczyk's snaps go up and that he's used as a second tight end in many formations.
All right, what do you expect to see from Brock? And what do you say if they lose this game this weekend? We're taking your calls, 888-957-9570. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. This is Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, I know about the stat that you texted me, Grandy. Director of Sports Lucas Alexander and my partner Dan Dibley and I had a lengthy conversation about said stat before the show. Would you like to all hear it?
Tell us.
Okay.
Because I was eating my salad. I might have tuned you two out.
Well, I know.
I was looking at an empty donut
box.
I'm
going to eat it.
Yeah, I was a little mad at that. I'm really? Glad you brought that. That was going to be my what's bugging me.
Oh, was it?
No doubt.
I stole that sucker.
Well, and it always bugs me.
Yeah.
When, if you have food, here in the radio world, we bring food a lot of times, leftovers or freshies, and when the food is gone, when you brought the food, you're responsible to dispose of the container, or if you take the last thing from a food container, then just throw it out. Such a tease.
Grandy seems to know who took the last donut and left the empty box on the table.
I took the second to last donut, okay. And then I watched the next person grab a donut out of the box.
Oh.
All I will say is, it's a member of the sales staff.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Say who it is. You won't.
I don't want you to, because then I will harbor not a grudge. This is not quite grudge worthy, but there will be resentment.
Yeah, we like this person too.
Yeah, and that's what.
And I like endorsements. So just let's move on.
Totally.
I mean, right? Let's move on. But anyway, you want to hear a fun stat?
I would love it.
And then apparently Big Trent said something that that everybody needs to hear. Okay?
Was it Big Dom?
No, not Big Dom. No, Big Trent. Big Trent. Check this out. Thanks to our buddy Nick Wagner, who does a great job covering the 49ers. He's the one who sent this out. This is fun. Ready? Since the 49ers acquired Christian McCaffrey in 2022, Brock Purdy has been under center for a total of 10 snaps without McCaffrey, Debo, and Kittle. 10 snaps.
Okay.
7 of those snaps were passing plays. How do you feel he did?
0 for 7 with 5 picks.
Not 5, not 6.
Totally.
Not 7.
Yep. How'd I do?
Brock went 3 for 7 for 49 yards, no touchdowns, and 1 interception.
Oh, wow.
Now, 5 of those 10 snaps came in mop-up duty in an ugly loss against the Kansas City Chiefs. If you remember, that was Christian's first game with the 49ers, and he did not play a full complement of snaps because he showed up to the facility about 7 hours before the game.
It was actually
Friday.
Right.
But no, five of those snaps came prior to Brock Purdy even being the starting quarterback for the 49ers. Okay? There's your small sample. Now, we could play it the other way, too. Purdy has been under center with all three of them on the field for a total of 537 snaps.
Okay.
And in those plays, Brock is 299 of 449 for 3,903 yards, 25 touchdowns against 8 interceptions, also 155 rushing yards and 2 rushing touchdowns. That's Brock Purdy with his big 3 weapons.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's better when he has the big 3 weapons. And the idea of him being, quote, under center, I'm going to allow Nick the latitude that he probably wasn't.
Those were my words, not his. Those were my. He just called them snaps.
Okay. Yeah. That's better.
Right.
Because under center is something we don't often see now in the National Football League.
Fine.
With the pistol and the shotgun and all the
center.
Rest of it. Sure.
He was behind
near
center.
Near the center.
Yes. He was on the field as the quarterback of the football team. For that many snaps.
What that stat tells me is that we have no idea how he's going to look without those three on the field. Because you want to talk about small sample, and I know that we've all used that, and I think Kirk Morrison this morning with the guys in the morning roast talked about a small sample size, which kind of triggered me a little bit.
Does it?
Because
why?
Because at what point does a small sample become a medium sample? When you talk about 10 snaps, that is a small sample size to me. When you look at... Now, we're coming up on 2 full seasons worth of regular season starts. Is that still a small sample?
It's not that small. I get what they're saying in terms of, like, we want as much data as possible. If you're talking about it in terms of what kind of a contract are you going to offer them. But, no, it's not a small sample if what you're trying to find out is if Brock is good. It's not. You want it to be, some of you. You want it to be.
Well, you want it to be if you want to disprove
it. Yeah, because you want to not be convinced. You want to not be. You want to know what small sample size Steve does? I bet you've all experienced this 1,000 times. Brock Purdy can be 4-2 in the playoffs, and one of those losses isn't really his. He can be 4-2 in the playoffs. He can have been to an NFC title game every time he's played quarterback. He can win football games at what feels like, I don't have the data in front of me right now, but it feels like something in the neighborhood of 75 to 80% of the games he starts, they win. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. What's he at right now? About 24-7 or something like that?
18-5 regular.
Okay.
4-2 post. So he's at 22-7.
Okay. Yep. All right. So there you go. So whatever that is, that feels like that's
about 70%. Darn near.
All right.
Yep.
Okay. So he can win all those games. He can have success in the playoffs. He can be 5th in the MVP. He can throw for more yards than any 49er quarterback has ever thrown for in the history of this organization in a season. He can go over 30 touchdown passes in a season. He can do all that stuff. And then he'll go out on Christmas and turn the ball over 4 times. And someone will go, see, I told you, he sucks.
Yep.
That is the small sample size Steve stuff that I can't stand, especially in the social media generation. That's social media Steve. That's your name if you do that. You watch for 3 seasons, and it's like, good, this is great. That day was mediocre. This is good. That was good. That was really good. That was kind of good. They win almost all their games. Going to the NFC title game both years, and then you have a bad quarter. Told you, he sucks. That's what a lot, I hear a lot. That's what I hear a lot. And maybe that's just fanning. You know, you got nacho cheese on your cheek, and you're like, ah, shucks. Okay. But like, come on. Come on. And I know some of you are dialing, believe me, some of you are dialing that up for Monday already. You're getting it ready. You're getting your take ready before the game even starts. Mine's hopeful. I think that's my prediction. My prediction is he's still going to be very, very functioning as a quarterback. And my prediction is that the 49ers are going to win this game and that he is going to look good. Will he look great? I don't know. That's hard to say. And it's like I would predict that Brock Purdy, I'm going to go one turnover max. I'm going to go less than five sacks. I'm going to go north of 220 passing and a W. Like that would be my prediction. But some of you are just, you're turning the wheel already. You're getting
ready.
Well,
you're champing at the bit to make yourself right.
This will prove that he is a product of the system.
This reminds me of my old buddy, Chef Sean, who I used to live next to for 20, 25 years. And he had an expression, make yourself right. And he said that to one of his bosses. He was a chef. And the chef was coming down on him for something, and he's like, you just want to make yourself right. And that's what a lot of fans are waiting for this Sunday. You're waiting to make yourself right. Because if Brock Purdy goes 17 of 24 for a $178 and one touchdown and one pick, it doesn't matter if they win or not. What it's going to tell people is, see, he can't do it without all that talent around him. And if he goes out there and he goes 23 of 27 for 288 and three touchdowns and no picks, those of you Brockistans who live in Brockistania, you're going to say, see, he's the dude. He's the sauce. Give him $60 million. And I'm not saying that you'll say this, but people who are ready to anoint Brock and crown Brock, whatever happens on Sunday becomes a big old fat confirmation bias, because you're going to see what you want. And if you think that Brock is a product of the system and a product of the talent around him, you're going to look at a game where maybe he's underwhelming and you're going to say, well, see, Ayuk had nine catches, and other than that, he couldn't do a damn thing. Yeah. Brock's overrated.
Well, you're not wrong at all. However, just speaking for me now,
the president of Brockistan,
I'm not actually looking for something to happen to this game for me to say, see, Brock's the dude. I'll already say it.
Correct. I think a lot of people are looking at this game as the first time that they can have their confirmation bias be realized.
I don't know what everyone needs to wrap their head around the fact that the 49ers are going to pay this guy and keep him. The owner already said it.
Exactly.
So
going to reset the market.
A lot of people are running around with this take as if something's about to happen that's not going to happen. It's already been decided. The 49ers, the only way that changes is if there's something hellacious with injury or something just completely doesn't about face, which based on two games into this year, I'm incredibly confident is not going to happen. I don't know why it would. You know what I mean? So, like, I get the person that goes, I want to see more, but I guess my question to that person would be, you want to see more of what? What is it you're trying to convince yourself of? If what you want is, I want to see more to assess whether or not Brock is truly one of the top, you know, great quarterbacks in the game. Does he belong in that conversation? That's fine. I have no issue with that, because things like that, those come out over time. I don't think 2 years into Tom Brady's career, everyone was like, well, there's the greatest player we've ever seen. That takes time. Automatically. But if you're saying I need to see more so that I can be convinced that Brock is good and worth a contract, you're having a conversation by yourself.
Because they already think that this is a done deal.
This is gone.
Right.
It's gone. And it doesn't matter if he is somewhat of like a match with Kyle Shanahan and that's why he produces, because Kyle's also not going anywhere.
Exactly. He's going to be a match with Kyle Shanahan.
So there you go. The Niners have decided that match really works, and they're right.
Right. And it,
so it's done.
For all of the Kirk Morrisons out there, and I love Kirk, shout out Bishop O'Dowd in Oakland, California, But all the people who are looking at stats, Brock Purdy right now has had 15 games in his career with a passer rating of 100 or greater. There are only two quarterbacks who've had more 100-plus passer rating games in their first 25 starts than Brock Purdy, and it's Patrick Mahomes and Kurt Warner.
Wow.
And he's tied with...
Hall of Fame to be.
He's tied with Carson Palmer, Dak Prescott, and Tony Romo. If he has more than 100 quarterback rating here, he joins Kurt Warner in second all-time. And I know passer rating's not the end-all be-all, but it does speak to a quarterback's efficiency and his ability to throw touchdowns and not turn the ball over. And so far, Brock Purdy is 15 for 23 in his career starts in having a passer rating of 100 or greater.
I love that Kurt Warner speaks on Brock as much as he does, because he really is... You know, the one where you can play some sort of a comp game. Whenever people do Brock Purdy and Tom Brady because of where they were drafted, it bothers people and it isn't fair. It's like, why are we talking about these two guys in the same sentence? Kurt Warner's a Hall of Famer too, but here's why. Kurt got thrown in, and I know Tom did too. Everyone got thrown in because of injury, right? Kurt, Tom, Brock, everyone got thrown in because of injury. But you know what Tom did? Tom took a bunch of whatever receivers, and there was a whole Patriot way that turned this thing into an incredibly sustainable dynasty. Kurt Warner walked onto a field where he was surrounded by Hall of Famers, surrounded by the most unbelievable collection of skill position players that I had ever seen in my life when it happened.
They had a nickname.
Thank
when
you.
Your offense has a nickname, it's probably pretty good.
And the word in it was show. I know two
and
teams.
And greatest.
Right. And I know two teams that got that. The Rams of Kurt Warner and the Lakers of Magic Johnson.
Right.
That's it. That's the list.
When your unit has a nickname like Legion of Boom or Steel Curtain or whatever you want, if your defense or your offense has a nickname, it's probably pretty good.
And for those of you who weren't here when this happened, it was very rare that people looked at Kurt Warner, who wasn't drafted at all. It was very rare that people looked at the way he was playing and went, well, I mean, he's got really good players around him. So he's not actually doing anything. He's a trust fund baby. No, no one said that. People were like, who the hell is this guy? This is incredible.
And he also had an offensive coordinator who was revolutionary.
Absolutely.
In Mike Martz.
Totally. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.